The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to The Money Hour at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, February 21st show. I'm your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, dedicated to my listeners, providing you with the tools needed to make informed decisions on matters that affect your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I'm here to answer any questions or connect you with any of the guests that I have in studio. Please call into the show, 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. My lineup for studio today, Kyle Schultz with 360 Credit Consulting. It's challenging. If you have challenging credit, it's important to understand how to improve your credit scores. If you want to get a mortgage, car, credit card, having good credit score is extremely important for your financial future. And if getting denied for having bad credit is a problem, then you definitely want to listen to Kyle's segment today. Also in studio, Justin Richards and Yvette Duby with Keller Williams Realty Bellevue. Winning in multiple offers in today's crazy real estate market, it's critical to work with a skilled negotiator. Now's the time to pick the best of the best to represent you. How do you find them? Well, I've got a couple in studio today with me. And last guest in studio, Sally Fox with Engaging Presence. Turn creative energy into innovation, build a positive culture one story at a time, and create a future you can believe in and ignite in collaboration. Sally's philosophy is developing inspiring leaders. Great information and great guests in studio. For more information, any topic discussed, please call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Let's go ahead and start out with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
I want to talk a little bit about reverse mortgages today and share some upcoming changes that are coming with reverse mortgages. HUD reverse mortgage, after the financial meltdown, it left some of our older Americans with a shortage of money. And if you have concerns about monthly cash flow with the local real estate market seeing so much appreciation, you may have a lot of equity and be in a position to qualify for a reverse mortgage. This program allows you to withdraw some of the equity from your home with no monthly payment outside of paying taxes, which we're going to talk about. If you're a senior, this can supplement Social Security, meet unexpected medical expenses, or any other expenses that you may need assistance with. And a reverse mortgage is a special type of home loan that lets you convert a portion of your equity into home equity that you have in your house into cash. Now, there are reverse mortgage requirements that are changing on March 2nd of this year. The first one, new financial assessment requirements will take effect again March 2nd of 2015. Prior to 2015, the mortgage that you were taking out, borrowers did not have to go through an income or asset qualification as you do for a customary loan or what they're a forward mortgage or a traditional mortgage that you would take out. But after March 2nd, you will now undergo a financial assessment conducted by the lender, and this will include reviewing your credit. So the financial assessment is geared towards making sure that you can meet the ongoing payments associated with the homeownership, including your homeowner's insurance and property taxes, and any other type of maintenance that you might have coming up on the home. Again, you're not making a mortgage payment per se for this loan, but all of the expenses of maintaining the house are a requirement, so they want to make sure that you can qualify for that. If you have passed a link, those delinquencies will be considered from the lender as part of the actual assessment. So that's the first change. The second change, you'll now need more documentation as part of the financial assessments. Lenders will need to collect documentation in order to underwrite the reverse mortgage and to ensure that you meet the necessary financial criteria. That may mean gathering tax returns, documentations of assets, anything that you own. Again, debts and looking at your credit history is going to be part of that. So there might be some documentation for that as well. The third change is that you need to set aside money for future items that need to be fixed or housing cost. So if you lack certain financial standing and determining on the financial assessment that you have, you'll need to set up aside funds from the loan proceeds in order to cover the property charges, property taxes, and insurance. This life expectancy set aside, it's called LESA, is a fund specially designated for those payments and kind of traditionally the same as you'd have on a traditional mortgage, set inside an escrow to make sure that those payments are getting taken care of. So the bad news is the financial assessment will make it tougher for some borrowers to qualify for a reverse mortgage. The good news is it makes it tougher for some people to qualify for the reverse mortgage. So you want to make sure that you're in a good financial situation and that this loan actually makes sense for you. So I think it's really great news that these changes are coming up to protect our seniors and making sure they're making the right decision for their future. Now, to qualify, 62 or older, single family homes, 1-4 unit townhomes or HUD properties or condos. Properties must be owner occupied and the home does not have to be owned free and clear, but there's a percentage of equity that you have to have the proceeds to make sure that it pays for the reverse mortgage on the current loan balance, and then to meet the new financial assessment requirements taking effect again on March 2nd that I just went through. The benefits, the title of the property always remains in the homeowner's name and will never change ownership. The funds received can be used in any manner, so there's not many restrictions on that. Income received is tax-free and will not affect Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid benefits. Again, there's no monthly payments except for the maintenance of the home, property taxes, no out-of-pocket cost for the program, so all fees and interest are deferred until both seniors move out of the property or sell the home or pass away. Now, the loan is paid off when both homeowners pass away. You sell the home or choose to vacate the property. So you've got to make sure that you're in a position that you can actually take care of the property, because that's part of the process in staying in your home. The estate or heirs can keep the property once the loan's been paid off. If the home has remaining equity, it goes to the estate or the heirs. And reverse mortgages are considered a non-recourse loan. So the homeowner never guarantees the loan will be paid back in full. If more is owned, if there are more owned on the home when you sell the property, the government is responsible for that. So cash options are available. There's a lot of different options you can choose. You can choose to take a lump sum, monthly installments, a line of credit that allows you to access cash just as you need it, combination of all three, and all payment options, again, are tax-free. So it's a really great program, but like any other program, you need to make sure that it's the right program for you. Consulting with an expert that can walk you through that process is really important, and I say working with somebody that actually is an experienced reversed mortgage, so it's something that they really focus on. I personally don't do reverse mortgages. I would refer to somebody that is an expert in that arena, because it is a really unique product, and I just think that you need to have that extra special attention and care on that product. You also can get more information by going to National Council on Aging or calling them at 800-510-0391. So again, a great program. If you have any questions, you can always call into the show at 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50, or go online to themoneyhour.com. Coming up next on the Money Hour, we hear a lot of nightmare stories going on in the real estate arena. I thought it would be a good time to hear some success stories. Justin Richards and Yvette Duby with Keller Williams Realty Bellevue, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, February 21st show. I'm empowering our community, providing you with opportunities and solutions when it comes to your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast to talk with any of the guests that I have in studio, please call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Right now in studio, I have Justin Richards and Yvette Duby with Keller Williams Realty Bellevue. It's all about the skill of negotiation and how important is it in today's real estate market? I think it is everything. Having a team behind you that can help navigate through all of the process of buying real estate. I'm so happy to have you guys here in studio. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Tina.
Thank you.
And a little bit of background. First, we'll start with Justin. Born and raised in Seattle, Washington, real estate has been Justin's career focus dating back to the early 2005. With more than 10 years experience in the industry, he's had a pleasure of working with management and executive level clientele across the greater Puget Sound, including clients from Alaska Airlines, the Boeing Company, Microsoft, Amazon.com, Bank of America, and Hewitt Packet, to name just a few. His background has allowed him the privilege of bringing a unique and compelling insight to the real estate process, contract negotiation, and overall community knowledge. On New Year's Eve 2012, Justin became a father for the first time, and Sydney is his inspiration and the reason why he works so hard for his clients. So a great bio, Justin. A little bit about Yvette Duby. With more than 12 years of corporate experience leading teams at Amazon.com, Yvette brings her integrity and analytical skills to the real estate arena. Her clients enjoy a smooth contract-to-close process because of her relentless attention to detail and her deep understanding and creativity in making deals that work for everyone. Her effectiveness starts by foregoing strong, long-term relationships with clients, agents, and everyone involved in the real estate transaction. Yvette operates her own real estate investment business, and as a result, she understands the art of business and real estate from many angles. And I just think it's exciting to have both of you here to let my listeners know you guys are a partnership and a team, which I think is important and a huge benefit in the real estate market because there's so much that happens in the industry. And so really being able to partner up together and bringing your strengths is just an awesome thing. So again, I'm just excited to have a conversation with you guys.
Thank you so much.
So give us a little background, or give my listeners a background on how the two of you came to work together.
Well, I think it was kind of a funny story. So I had been in the real estate industry for a number of years prior to engaging with Yvette.
Uh-huh.
And we actually crossed paths at a conference, an investment conference for real estate outside of the traditional sale model. And in a room of 1,000 people or thereabout, I made a wisecrack about our fun, fantastic Seattle weather.
Uh-huh.
And apparently right in front of me, there she was. She turned around and said, "Oh my gosh, you're from Seattle." And a friendship was formed. And now we are where we are today, all these years later.
Awesome. Business destiny, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. So why has been working relationship been so successful? And how does that translate to your clients?
Well, I think the biggest thing for Yvette and I is the fact that when we're engaging with a particular client, whether it be a buyer or a seller, it's very interesting how that particular client chooses to work with us, or whether they go towards Yvette because of her background or skill set, or even to mine in my case. And so that's worked out very, very well for she and I.
And what about things that you guys do differently? So if you're looking at all the, I mean, there's a lot of brokers in our market, and I know you guys have very specific things that you do. What is different in our marketplace that you guys are providing for your clients?
Well, I think one of the things we do is we work to our strengths. I mean, Justin and I are very good about and strong of everything that happens in real estate, but we have to divide it up. It's not a one-man team, and you're not on your own island either. So we work together. We work to our strengths. Our clients see that, and they gravitate towards where we go. But we also set the expectation, this is how we operate. This is how it's going to work out.
Sure.
And it creates just a nice streamlined process that's stress-free for everybody involved.
Well, and a lot of that has to do with education, right? I think that the reality of it is there are plenty of brokers in our area. And for many of them, it's finding a way to get to the closing table as quickly as possible.
Of course.
And you negate much of the education process, and that's where things go wrong in transactions. So we make a point, whether it be a buyer or seller, to sit down and go through that process with them in the beginning before we actually are either even touring a property or listing a home.
And another benefit of having a team and a partnership, because there is only so much time in the day. And
right.
So being able to really come together as a team and to provide everything that your clients need is a huge benefit.
It's crucial.
It is. So let's talk about the team and your team. Do you see it growing in the future?
Absolutely. Well, we're actually in the process right now. We've come to a point where growth was necessary. And by growth, I don't mean so much in where we're going with the business, but rather bringing on people to make our system better for our clients, the experience better for our clients across the board, adding more services for both buyers and sellers.
Okay, wonderful. And why have you been so successful in negotiating in multiple offers for your buyers and your clients? And it's when it's such a competitive market, such a seller's market. So how have you guys been so successful in that arena?
Well, again, it comes down to pricing. I mean, pricing is always going to be the bottom line no matter how you want to shake it out. But I think the biggest thing is, again, educating your client where they stand in a given marketplace, whether it be the greater Seattle area, further north, further south. And then setting their property apart from the next home or the next homes, I should say, on the market around them. And so, again, that's a big piece of it, pricing it correctly.
Okay.
Yvette has a good point to this as well. I know that we talked about this on the way over here.
I think it's about being creative as well. It's and it does come down to price, but there's also terms and conditions. And you really do have to reach out to the other side to find out what those T's and C's are.
Sure.
And it's having that conversation and picking up the phone and talking through it. You just never know what the seller or the buyer really needs at the end of the day. And to open up those lines of communication and talk through it, you are already showing that, hey, we want a win-win situation here between buyer and seller, and you're one step up. You can articulate what you want. We all want the same goal at the end of the day is to close the deal, and it's creating that relationship for the other side. It's so important. We can't let our ego get in the way of that either because we're working on everyone's behalf, just not ours.
Yeah, and you talk, that's part of the education process as well, and what sets you guys aside is you're really taking that time, and each client, as you're saying, whether it's a buyer or a seller, they have a unique situation and different personalities, different things that they need, and so really being able to take the time to work with them, educate, find out what's important to strategize the best action plan for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk about my listeners love stories, and there was a story where the cops showed up. I know you guys have a lot of stories that would be very interesting, but I want to hear about this one.
Well, this is a buyer that we represented. I think it was last year, and this was right as the market was turning in our area. In this case, the property was located in Redmond, Union Hill area. And in this case, that particular property was one where we knew our client had a very limited location on where they wanted to be, and certainly everybody else at this point wanted that location also. And we showed up the second day on the market, and it may have even been the first day on the market.
It was the first day on the market, and what happened was we had already made three offers for this client, the buyer client.
Okay.
And so they were understanding that boy, I need to step up this time. And so it was, I think, yeah, it was the first or second day on market, and we had to do our pre-inspection. We just had to be there and follow basically what the seller wanted.
Okay. And in that process, while we were doing the pre-inspection, there are 50-plus cars lined up around the block, and the neighbors were so upset by all of this activity that sure enough, maybe 20 minutes after we arrived, the sheriff department showed up, knocked on the door, and said, "What in the world is going on here in the middle of the day?" And asked everybody kindly to leave, which actually was great for us because that scared away a number of people that helped us get to.
We caused a traffic jam too.
Caused a traffic jam, but it helped us actually win out for our buyer because they realized not only how much activity there was on this property and why
crazy.
They needed to escalate in this case and do the things we needed to do to present the strongest offer for them.
Yeah, and when was this?
This would have been early 2014.
Okay. Right. Oh my gosh, that is so crazy. And real estate's fun. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. It's just how you deal and how you take advantage of the opportunity and work with it.
Exactly.
Because you can either look at it as excitement or you can look at it as stressful.
Oh,
and
no.
I love how you guys look at, yes, I know I see a lot of you guys and definitely exciting team and look at everything on the positive side, not the scary and negative side.
Right.
So that's
great. We have a lot of fun with our buyers and sellers.
Yeah, that is awesome. So sellers now have a better understanding that it's a seller's market. So they're learning a little bit that it's their market. And when you're competing for a new listing and there's a lot of other brokers involved because, you know, there is a lot of brokers that are fighting for the same business, especially since there's not a lot of inventory out there. So that makes it even more competitive for you as a realtor and getting those listings. What's your secret and how are you landing so many opportunities to help a seller with one of the biggest things that they're going to do in their entire life?
I think one of the biggest things that's worked really well for us is the fact that it is us, the working relationship, the dynamic duo, if you will. That
Yeah, you guys are definitely a dynamic duo.
Right.
No doubt about that.
And so, I mean, I can think of a number of recent listing opportunities that we've had where we've competed against other agents, very well-known, strong agents. Uh-huh. And part of the presentation that we have is the fact that the value add for a seller is that there's two of us. There's two of us for effectively the price of one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's two different trains of thought on how a property is going to be marketed with a streamlined end result, right? And her background at Amazon and the corporate world definitely has a very detailed side to it. Right.
Yes.
And many, many sellers that we cross paths with love that. In
fact,
they need
the analytical side.
Analytical.
Yes. That's another thing that we actually have in common, by the way. Go ahead, Justin.
I mean, it's true, though. And so there are people that feed on that in terms of our clientele that feed on. They need that. And for us, I think I'm a little crazier in my approach on things.
Uh-huh.
But they need that, too, because that's something that is outside of what everybody else is pitching them.
Yeah. And something that you were saying that too, I had a thought, another benefit with a partnership like you guys have is there's a lot of things that happen in a real estate day in your profession and in mine in mortgage. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on and it's nice to talk to other realtors and kind of pass things back and forth, but the reality and have these conversations to figure out the best strategy, the reality is there's not enough time in the day. You got to stay focused on your own clientele and what's happening in your own book of business. But as a partnership, you guys are in this together, so you're talking back and forth, and you can really talk things out to figure out the best strategy. So,
well, and we're available 7 days a week. That's the biggest part about it, right? So if she's I'm on, or if she's on vacation, I'm on, or vice versa, right?
Yeah.
And that's a great way to leave a client feeling comfortable.
You've always got one of you that's
going to,
there's always that backup. So give my listeners a success story regarding how you've helped a seller.
We actually had a great piece of property over here in
Woodridge.
Yeah, not too far from where we're sitting right now.
Okay.
And it was, again, a multiple listing situation where there were a number of agents that were competing for the property. And we were actually we didn't present the highest price.
Uh-huh.
In fact, actually, I believe we were the lowest. But because of our strategy and how we chose to go about it, in a period of 3 days on the market, we had more than 300 people through the home. and sold the home for $105,000 more than they were asking for it.
Unbelievable. So if you're listening right now and you're a seller, you've got to understand exactly what Justin and Yvette are saying. It is about price. You have to price your home correctly. It's not about who's going to tell you you're going to get the highest offer, because the reality of it is if you price that home strategically wrong and you price it at a higher level, your risk not selling it, having to take it off the market, getting it back on. And even if that doesn't happen, you may sell it really quick at that price, but you're not getting those multiple offers. And really, ultimately, you're ending up with less money than you could if you had that right price. You can't price too low. You can't price too high. And it's really a technique and a skill to be able to represent your sellers like that.
And we've almost branded it, in our office, our little corner of the world, is the eBay effect. Right? If you've ever bought or sold anything on eBay, obviously you're not pricing it at the top of the market in order to achieve that price. You're pricing it below, right?
Yeah.
Same goes for real estate. And it works the same way in and out every property over and over and over
again. And at the end of the day, the buyers set the market. They'll let you know what your house is worth.
Sure.
So.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much, you guys, for coming into studio. It was a real pleasure to have a conversation with you, and a real privilege for my listeners to hear your concept and just to share your team philosophy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much, Tina.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, have you had a bankruptcy, foreclosure, short sale, or any collections lingering on your credit report? Learn today how to remove them and increase your FICO score. Kyle Schultz with 360 Credit Consulting right here on 1150 AM at KKNW after the short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we can get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour. This is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, February 21st show. I have built a network of elite industry professionals every week sharing their knowledge and expertise to my listeners. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com, and I can connect you with any of the guests that I have in studio today. Right now, Kyle Schultz with 360 Credit Consulting. With so many credit repair companies out there and a lack of sites willing to bring you the real story on credit repair, I decided it was important to bring one in studio. Kyle, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Tina. Thanks for having me.
And Kyle is a FICO certified credit expert that has been helping people restore their financial freedom for years. So let's go ahead and start out, Kyle, with just explaining to my listeners, what is FICO?
FICO stands for Fair Isaac Corporation. They're a company that started in Minnesota several decades ago, and they're responsible for coming up with the algorithms and the calculations that are used to calculate credit.
And what are the credit scores usually higher when someone pulls their credit score online? So I have a lot of clients that come in and they're applying for a mortgage pre-approval, and they say, you know, I've had my credit report pulled by MicaFicoScore.com, or Credit Karma is a really common one. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of commercials with that. Why is that score different from when I pull a credit score for mortgage purposes?
Absolutely. Well, the real reason for that is because the three credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, they do not give you a credit score. All mm-hmm. they are data repositories. They hold your name, your date of birth, social security number, payment history, etc. What happens is FICO, once again, Fair Isaac Corporation, they're a company that creates these computer programs to assess risk. And several years ago, they decided to come to the credit bureaus and say, hey, let us use one of our programs to plug in your data, calculate it, and give you a credit risk score or a credit score. Now, that would be all well and good if FICO only had one algorithm or program used to calculate credit, but they actually have 52 different algorithms with a 53rd that's in the works about to be approved. So you guys that are really good at math know that if you got three credit bureaus and 52 different algorithms, that's 156 scores per person, and they're all correct. So the reason why you see such a variance between, say, the online industry and the mortgage industry is because you're literally comparing apples to oranges. In the mortgage industry, the highest score that you can have is an 850. In the online industry, the highest score you can have is 1,000. So that's why it almost never matches up.
Got it. And I need you to actually send me that in an email. Well said, because that is the hardest question to answer when a client asks. It just, it doesn't make any sense and it's confusing.
Absolutely.
So what is the FICO score or the credit score, not FICO score, but the credit score consist of?
What goes into having credit calculated? Well,
correct.
There are several different, I guess you can look at them like pie wedges that make up the whole pie itself. The first one is payment history. It accounts for 35% of your score. This one's pretty self-explanatory. It's where you're going to find your history of payments on your homes, your autos, your student loans, et cetera. It's also where every single negative account is found, your collections, your bankruptcies, et cetera. So that's a pretty important section. You want to make sure they have everything, all your ducks in a row there. Then you have amounts owed. That accounts for 30% of your score. This one is pretty tricky. Most people get this one wrong on what they think that that it is. It's based solely off of credit cards.
Yes.
30% of your score is weighted entirely off of those little pieces of plastic you have in your wallets or your purses, ladies and gentlemen. So it's imperative that you use those correctly. So the first thing that you got to be paying attention to in that section is that you have a credit card. If you don't have a credit card, you're missing out on 30% of your possible points, points that you need to get that mortgage, to get that car loan, heck, even jobs. So that's important. Then you got to make sure that it's reporting correctly. There's lots of companies out there that, you know, for whatever reason or another, the people that work there aren't drinking their coffee that morning or what have you, and those limits or balances can be reporting inaccurately. So you really got to keep an eye on that. And then you have to make sure that you're keeping your balance to limit ratio where it needs to be. So there is no magic number, but 25 to 30% is what is feasible for most Americans. And so that's what we urge people to stay at. If you go
and when it gets over 50, it gets that has devastating effects on your credit score.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If you go over 50, you're going to have a huge point loss. If you can get it back under 50, you're going to get a lot of those points back.
And you know, that's a really good point because, you know, in the mortgage industry, we can do what's called, you know, rapid rescore. So there's a few things that we can quick fix on the spot that doesn't actually go through the credit repair process. And it is paying down your revolving debt to get it to that ratio. And what a lot of people use their credit cards to pay their bills every month, which is great, get free interest, and that's wonderful. The problem is you don't know when that credit report is actually going to be pulled, what that balance is going to be at that time. So you can have a devastating effect to your credit score when you're using that and maxing it out, especially when it goes over that 50%. But it's a very, very easy fix. And so just make sure that you're going through that rapid rescore because it can have a huge impact on your interest rates.
Absolutely. Well said.
And it's a lot of people don't realize that it's actually all the revolving debt together. It's not individual. I've heard people say, well, it's individual credit cards. So you can move a balance from one credit card to another, but it doesn't work because they're looking at the overall ratio from all those revolving credit cards combined together, correct?
Yeah, you're pretty close.
Okay.
How it works is that that 30% that's based off of revolving debt.
Yes.
If you have one credit card, that one credit card will weigh that 30%. If you have two credit cards, they're going to split that line right down the middle, and each card will be weighed 15%, three cards, 10%, et cetera.
So it's not taking it all together, and really, but it's not each individual card either at that ratio. So I didn't have it right either. It's something kind of in the middle.
Yeah, there's so many myths and legends when it comes to credit. It's very hard to keep it straight.
Well, that's why I've got you in studio and I don't talk about credit all on my own.
Well, I don't talk about mortgages, so
there
it works.
There you go. Good point. So what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to their credit?
Honestly, it's not knowing. Education is the biggest, most important piece. There's no class in high school and college that teaches you how to have a good credit score. So first thing that I would urge clients to do is to go out and educate themselves. You know, there's plenty of good information online. Go to reputable stores, do your reading, do your homework. That's the number one most important thing. Past that, it's honestly payment history. That's probably the most important thing. You got to make your payments on time. So if you have late payments, God forbid, rolling lates, really can't be doing that. That's something we see frequently. And using those credit cards correctly.
Yeah. And what about paying cards off and not understanding that that can have a devastating effect on your credit because of the history? And you mentioned that in the pie chart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not understanding that, I think it's a myth out there that people hear if you're not using credit cards, if they're open and you're not using them, it's bad for your credit. The reality is if they're open and you're not using them, don't close them if they have more than 2 years, because that's something you can't recover from. I mean, it's, you know, unless you go get as an authorized user and someone else's account that has that established credit. Otherwise, you've got to start that history all over, so it can be devastating in your credit score, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You want a job? You know a lot about
credit. I was going to say, I know I know a couple things. Well, it's because I have a radio show. So,
No, you're absolutely correct. The most important thing that people need to keep in mind when it comes to opening and closing accounts is that every time you open an account, you're going to get dinged. There's a separate section called New Credit, which accounts mm-hmm. for 10% of your score. So you got to be cognizant of that. That's also where credit inquiries are found. But as far as when you close accounts down, that's going into this section, length of credit history. It accounts for 15% of your score.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're looking for in this section of the algorithms that are being used is what your oldest account is, what your newest account is, and what the average age of all combined accounts is. So if you have a Lane Bryant card from 1976, mm-hmm. I don't care if you don't shop there anymore. Don't ever close that account, because it's the most important part of that section of your credit.
Yeah. And Kyle, what about late payments? How long do late payments stay on a consumer's credit report?
Absolutely. Late payments, along with most derogatory items, will stay on a report statute of limitations up to 7 years.
Okay. Perfect. And what are some items that can be removed from during the credit repair process?
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much anything that you can think of that's derogatory that hurts somebody's credit in one way or another can be removed during a credit repair process.
Mm-hmm.
Collections, bankruptcies, judgments, tax liens, foreclosures, deed in lieu, short sales. Once again, pretty much anything you can think of. The most important part is that you do work with a company that's reputable, that knows what they're doing, and knows how to put the pressure on the bureaus where it needs to be applied.
Got it. And is it true, too, that with a bankruptcy or something that it's not that actual bankruptcy that has that big effect on your credit scores, but it's all the lates that are surrounding that bankruptcy, that even if those get taken off, that can have a huge effect on your credit
score? Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are you doing to actually get these items removed?
Great question. So what it is that we do is we function and rely heavily off of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. It's a law that was established in the 1970s, and every consumer here in the country is able to take advantage of it. Basically, what we do is we contact the credit bureaus on our client's behalf,
mm-hmm.
and we have our attorneys write investigations for us. In these investigations, we're looking for any and all documentation to prove the validity of the accounts. I'm looking for names, dates, signatures, addresses, 7 years worth of payment history. If it's a medical collection that I want to see who the doctor was, what the procedure was, things like that. Now, by law, the credit bureaus have 30 to 45 days to respond. If within that time frame they cannot give me every single stitch of documentation that I ask for, so not 5 out of 10 or 8 out of 10, they got to mm-hmm. give me 10 out of 10 of the documents. If they can't, then by law, the verbiage in the law states that it has to be corrected or removed. And 99% of the time, it's just simply removed.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. Put the burden back on the creditor.
Exactly.
So, and isn't there a statistics that really 70% of people have issues on their credit report that can be removed from the credit repair process?
Absolutely. You bump that number up by 10%.
Yeah.
You hit it right on
the
head.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable.
Exactly. There has been actual statistics released from FICO and the credit bureaus themselves uh-huh. that have stated that 80% of credit reports have some sort of detrimental error. That's the verbiage that they use. And what that means is that 8 out of 10 of you people listening have, through no fault of your own, something mm-hmm. on your report that is dragging your credit score down anywhere between 15 and 20 points roughly.
Yeah. Wow. So the credit repair process, if somebody's looking at getting approved for a mortgage, they actually have to get through this credit report, the credit repair process, because you can't be in dispute when you're trying to go through a home mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
How long does that process take? If I had a listener that called into the show today and started the process and they did what they need to do in a timely fashion, what's the average turn time?
Before they would be ready to come back and close a loan?
Yes, before their credit repair process would be completed.
Once again, it does come back to having a good, reputable company working with you.
Okay.
But my average, for instance, is 90 to 120 days. That's how long typically it takes for me to get a client from a bruised, battered, and broken kind of a status and send them back to that loan officer bright, shiny, and new.
Okay. And what about the average point increase that you're seeing with your clients?
That one's really hard to answer because every client is like a snowflake. There's no two credit reports that are the same. same. So as far as point increases, it just kind of depends. Overall, we average about a 24-point per month increase per bureau for our clients. So if you do the math on 90 to 120 days, it can be pretty substantial.
Yeah, makes sense. So if a listener is thinking, what do they need to look for when hiring a credit repair company, to wrap up my segment with you, what would that be, Kyle?
Well, the first thing you would want to look for is make sure that they're accredited by the Better Business Bureau. There's some that fly under the radar there. You want to make sure that they're accredited. One of the best things to look for, and it's a very rare trait to find, is a FICO-certified company. So here at 360, we are FICO-certified. There's about 2% of companies within my industry that have that accreditation, and we're actually endorsed and accredited by FICO. So we're credit experts. We know it inside and out. That's one of the most important things you want to look for. Also, the billing and charging aspect of things. Legally, credit repair companies cannot charge exorbitant upfront fees. Mm-hmm. They have to actually be charging for the services after it's been rendered. So if they're asking you for $1,500 up front and I'll fix your credit,
there's an issue.
Run.
Yeah, makes total sense. Well, Kyle, thank you so much. First time having you in studio, and I'm excited to have you back. And I really appreciate your wealth of information and sharing it with my listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Tina.
And coming up next on the Money Hour, discover your vision and your passion behind your work and your organization. Sally Fox with Engaging Presence right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, February 21st show. My goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy. Keep me tuned in and I will keep you informed. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, I have Sally Fox with Engaging Presence. Sally, thank you so much for joining me in studio. I'm very excited to have a conversation with you and share it with my listeners.
I am delighted to be here, Tina.
And a little background about Sally. Dr. Sally Fox helps professionals and their organization create great stories that help them connect with their customers and stand out in an information-glutted world. She guides her clients to identify their strengths and their uniqueness and connect their stories to what their customers need. With an MBA and a PhD in leadership and 25 years consulting experience, Sally guided hundreds of professionals and organizations to engage with their customers and present their message in ways that stand out. And I think it's so important, Sally, what you're doing. And I told you before we started the show how excited I was to talk about you, because I don't think that there's enough importance put on how important this is to be able to tell your story, and not to be able to tell your story just for your clients, but tell your story so you can have passion in what you're doing.
That's right. People feel it. You know,
yes.
And somebody who has authentic passion for their story, if their story also connects with what the customer wants, is unstoppable, because people feel that. It's not just the words, it's the energy that people feel behind it.
And you're not talking about the Little Red Riding Hood story here, right?
Explain to my listeners
what you mean by story.
Well, you know, I think there's a place in life, and those of us who've had kids and have told stories to our kids, there's a lot of room for fables and fairy tales. But in business, the big distinction is you always want your story to connect to your customer.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important, because I say that we're in the connection economy. People, your audience, your customers, they want to connect with you. And story is a great vehicle to be able to do that.
And I think as a professional, knowing your story and your why behind that is important. So sometimes I think when you're going from a direction to be able to share your story with your clients and your employees and your workforce, you're also getting an opportunity to really find out the truth behind what you're doing.
That's right. Really working on your story is a little bit like strategic planning. The more you do, the more you actually discover about how much you have to contribute. So it's actually a great tool to uncover the kind of resource that you have that you might not even have thought of.
So, Sally, what is that story doing to enable each individually to stand out?
Well, first of all, story is linking your personal work to a larger story about what's evolving in the marketplace. You know, the mortgage industry and the real estate industry have been through so many changes in the past 10 years. And so if you can come in and say, I understand, here's the possibility that we see in the industry, and here is the obstacle, and now I'm here with a background and experience, a story that matches it, to really take you somewhere. Then people can feel, oh, okay, here's a person that I can begin to trust because her story is authentic and compelling and really makes it real. It lets her customer know that this is the person who can really do the work for her.
Makes total sense, Sally. And what about the customer? How do we link our stories to the customer's stories?
Now, that's a great question because, you know, in a sense, we have multiple stories going on. We have our own personal story of how we got into the business and our own unique edge in the business.
Okay.
We have the industry story about what's changing, how the market's opening up, where the opportunities are. And then we have the customer story. So I bet many real estate agents and financial planning specialists know that they need to get into the heart of what the customer really wants.
Yes.
And to do that, you can ask great questions that begin to open up, what's the story over here? Not just, you know, I want a great house at a low price in a good neighborhood, but what's the heart and soul of what's behind this? What is it they're really asking for? And what's the story that has gotten them to where they are today? All of that is amazingly important data when you're really wanting to make that kind of connection with your customer.
And you know, that's so true, Sally, and especially in real estate, because home ownership is such a, there is an important why behind somebody getting a home, and really opening that up and having that conversation to get to their story actually is going to help them to make the decisions on what they really need in a house and what they don't, which is important, especially in this market with the lack of inventory. So it goes on such a deep level, but at the same time, it's just the basic of getting what they want out of this investment and understanding the reason behind it.
Absolutely. And I can remember when I bought my first house, I think it was 26, 27 years ago. I had just split up with my partner, and we had been looking for a house together, and then I just knew it wasn't going to work. So I went out on my own, and I said, I'm going to find a little house that I can afford in Seattle. Now, my real estate agent at the time, she knew my backstory. She understood a little of what I went through. She understood the frustration, the looking for a house with this guy who looked like he'd be great, but then it turned out to not be the one. And here I was taking the big risk of standing on my own and putting my own down payment into this investment. She knew that. She got it. She held me. And then we went out and we did all the things of checking out multiple houses and getting a full sense of what it was I was looking for. But I tell you, I wouldn't have stuck with her in the same way if I didn't feel so totally gotten.
Yes.
She really understood my backstory.
Makes total sense. Now, Sally, a lot of professionals, and especially people I'm sure that you work with, are very successful, and they have some pretty big stories. So how do they share their stories with their clients without sounding like they're bragging?
That is such a great question, because when all you have to share is the story about how you've made so much money and done such great work for your clients, and everything sounds like it's just worked out fine, it's an impressive story, but it doesn't connect with the heart of your customer. Because, you know, your customer wants to feel you're human, you're real, you can relate to them. So being able to share a little bit of where you've come from and what were the obstacles that you had to overcome, Or what were those pivotal moments that really strengthened your commitment to serve them? I mean, you can take things that perhaps were a little bit difficult in your life and then show that they all link together to support the service that you're going to offer. That's a lot more compelling than just saying, look at my Mercedes, look at my income, look at how well-dressed I am. I've got it all together. Well, that's great, but some of your audience just isn't going to relate to that without feeling your heart.
Yeah, and Sally, I have to ask you something, personal. If you go to my website, you'll see my my personal core values, which are around my actual quotes that I wrote. And that's as much as I give on a level to my clients, because there's not enough time, and I'm really focused on the, you know, what we need to do and their loan program and education. And it's really all about options, and I don't have that time in connecting. So how do you share your story without, when you just, you don't have the time because your time is getting spent in really what they're there to talk with you about? Mm. How do you blend that into?
Well, first of all, you're not going to, in your case, you're not going to lead with your personal story, because you want to get right there down to work. You have limited time, and you really honor your customer's
time. Exactly.
However, there are those little moments that come in between that you can use to give that sense of, I'm with you, I understand, I have something similar. So that you can weave it in without taking away from the important work that you're doing to, quote, tell a story.
Got it.
And the other thing is, Tina, look, you're doing this radio show. That is tremendous contribution to the community. So when people see that, they already know, there's something a little different about this Tina Mitchell, because she's making a huge commitment to supporting other people's financial well-being and their wealth. She's not just taking it all in for herself. You know, so I don't know if that was behind your story, but certainly that comes through in the kind of service you're giving to the community.
Well, thank you, Sally. So story and brand. Can you explain to my listeners the difference between your story and your brand?
For me, the story comes first. It's kind of like the pre-brand. And so what I do with people is I work with them so they really understand, okay, what's my core strength? Where do I see my industry going? How does my story relate to that? And then you have that, and you can take it out to someone who's going to do your branding and marketing.
Okay.
I want to make sure that everything I do, that my look, that my communications, that my social media strategy, I want them to all reinforce who I am and how I'm here to serve. Now, some of the great branding people will take you through that story. And yet with some, you know, it takes a little bit of time to really pull out what is the most important piece of the story and how to make it coherent so it's not all over the map.
So you mentioned social media, Sally. How do you connect social media with your story? I mean, I know there's a lot of ways, and that's probably kind of a sensitive area as well, because you don't want to connect too much on your personal side and your story and the social media when it's business. But how do these two come together? How do you take advantage of social media?
That's a great question. That's a good question for all of us, because sometimes so much is smattered out there on Facebook.
Yes.
You kind of go, well, who is this person really? But I think for a professional to be able to say, I can use social media to give a human face to what I'm doing. However, I still want to always relate it back to what am I here to do?
Yes.
What's really going to benefit my customers? So they may not need to know about that late night party I went to. And if I went to Burning Man, maybe I keep it off the books, because I want people to understand the parts of my story that really reinforce how I'm going to help them. So if for professionals who are going to be checked out on social media, I think it's really important to be personal. I think it's great to share little bits that will humanize. Like I'm working with this organization called Get Storied. I'm part of their team. And it's a wonderful place. And at Get Storied, the leader there is always sharing about his love of chocolate. Everybody knows him, knows he's a chocolate-aholic.
Yeah.
It's a really small thing, and it doesn't detract from what he's bringing to the market, but it gives a face to who he is.
That makes so much sense. And if I have listeners, I have a lot of the Money Hour really is about bringing the best of the best in all areas regarding financing to share with consumers on everything that they need to know, because there's so many different arenas in our money, and you really can be an expert, I believe, at one thing. An expert realtor, expert mortgage, expert credit expert, expert as you in helping people tell their story and bringing it all into business. So how does, if I have a professional that's listening today, how do they get more information?
Well, they can go to my website, which is www.engagingpresence.com. There they'll see my phone number and they can call up, and I could do a free introductory consultation just to find out where they're at. Because what it sounds like much of your audience needs is real clarity, like how to have the most compelling case in the shortest amount of time that really speaks to the heart of what they do and connects them with customers.
Yes.
And that's the work that we can do together. And then, of course, that can be rolled into branding and marketing and lots of other applications.
So, Sally, if you had one tip, something that's most important to do right now and is easy just to get a start in this, what would that be, an exercise or anything that you can think of?
Well, I would think about two things at the same time, and then I would link them together.
Okay.
I would think, what is it that is my irrefutable, undeniable strength that I know that I'm bringing that is my unique contribution to this industry? And then I would say, how do I link that to what I know will benefit my customers?
Got it.
Make it a clear song.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Sally. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I appreciate so much you sharing your information and your expertise with my listeners, and I know it'll be a great podcast. So if you're listening and you missed Sally's segment, just go to themoneyhour.com, and after the show, you'll see it online. And Sally, again, thank you so much for taking time with me. I so much appreciate it.
Thank you, Tina. It was a delight.
And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy your Saturday and the rest of the weekend. Thanks for being here to talk money with me, and I will be here next Saturday, same time, same place, right here on 1150 AM KKNW.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.